As Michigan moves into new uncharted waters in terms of testing and evaluating those who hope to become teachers, there are many views on whether this testing and evaluation is fair, it's helpful, and an accurate measurement of how students, teachers, and schools are doing. One of the voices questioning the direction Michigan is going is that of my next guest. Longtime teacher Mitch Robinson is an associate professor and chair of music education at Michigan State University. His research is focused on education policy. Mitch, welcome to Stateside. It's very good to have you with us.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
You recently wrote a column, and in it, you took on Thomas Friedman for an op-ed piece that he wrote in the New York Times on January 18th. What did Friedman say in that piece that you felt was so wrong?
Well, first of all, I'm not trying to take on anybody. Certainly Mr. Friedman's not worried about what I'm saying about this, but I think it's become very easy and kind of trendy to demonize teachers and to put teachers as the sole reasons for any problems in the schools. And the fact is that I think the vast majority of our public schools are in great shape. Most people are really happy with the schools. In fact, almost all people are really happy with their schools. It's kind of a NIMBY problem. People tend to be upset about schools in other places. But I think a lot of that is because we don't really have good, accurate information. And I think, you know, there's a political climate that doesn't really make it very attractive to stand up for public schools right now.
And amidst all the talk that, that schools America's schools are failing, you don't see that?
No. I think the current climate talks about evidence-based reform, and what's kind of surprising to me is that there's really not any evidence that the schools are failing. When you look at the data about how American schools are faring, for example, compared to schools in other countries, and we usually hear about Finland and Taiwan, when you correct that data for socioeconomic status, American public schools are doing as well or better than schools in any country in the world. But that's not a very attractive story to sell if you're trying to, you know, ruin teachers' unions and if you're trying to hurt teachers. So that's kind of the dominant political narrative right now, and I think Mr. Friedman has bought that line uncritically, and I think it's time that we tell the real story about how good the schools are, and I just felt the need to do that.
And in that op-ed piece, Friedman spent a lot of time talking about the messages sent out by Education Secretary Ani Duncan. What's your perspective on what Secretary Duncan is saying about our education?
Well, you know, I'm disappointed in Ani Duncan's leadership in that office. I think he's looking in the wrong places for the right solutions. What teachers need right now is not to be castigated. It's not to be demonized, and it's not to be demoralized. As someone who works to prepare new teachers for the schools, it does make our job pretty difficult when people like Mr. Duncan and Michelle Rhee and Wendy Kopp are not making teaching a very attractive profession. So I think they're looking in the wrong places. Again, when we correct the data for socioeconomic status, American schools and American teachers are as good as they are anywhere in the world, and I think Mr. Duncan needs to know that. I also think we need to start valuing the expertise that we do have in education. With all due respect to Mr. Duncan, I'm sure he's a brilliant man. He's not a teacher, and it's time that we have a teacher or someone who's worked in education for their whole life in that office.
You write that this corporate reform agenda is a set of solutions in search of a problem. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think this is a manufactured crisis. There's, we saw this going back as far as No Child Left Behind, that there was a statement made at one point that if some other country had done to America's schools what we've allowed to happen, that would be an act of war. That's pretty inflamed rhetoric. People that I know that have been working in the schools for a long time realize that the crisis is real now, but it's one that's been created in order to capitalize on kind of a set of manufactured crises. The fact is that teacher education programs are in really strong shape. We get terrific students at Michigan State, and I'm sure we do at a lot of schools across the country. Teachers are taking their jobs very seriously in spite of not having a lot of support, sometimes from their own cultures and societies. And so I think what we need to do is return to valuing what teachers do for our communities and not setting them up as the single problem in what's happening in the schools.
But in response to that sense that America as a nation is falling behind other countries, let's say Japan, in the kinds of classes kids are taking and the kind of caliber of the instruction, what do you say to that?
Well, first of all, I'd like them to show us the evidence of that. I teach at a university where there is a huge number of students coming here from other countries. If we're falling so far behind, why aren't we sending our students there? Students certainly have the capabilities to go other places. I think that's a solution in search of a problem. People that work in our schools and people that are receiving our students are not worried about the quality of education. I think we're manufacturing a crisis, and I'm afraid that there are some political goals, and they're not really educational goals.
What goals, what political goals do you fear?
Well, what worries me is when I see, in New York City, for example, there's a phenomenon called co-locating of schools. That's where charter schools and other private schools are given the right to set up shop inside the walls of a public school in New York City. They pay no rent. They pay no utilities. And they, that just seems like squatting to me. So that's not really a fair and equal playing ground. We also see a lot of private schools, charter schools, and academies that if a child has special needs, they either don't admit that child or they expel that child when that child isn't contributing to higher test scores. The research on charters in specific shows that they're not doing better than average normal public schools and in many cases are doing worse. And yet in Michigan, we've removed the cap on charter schools with no research or evidence that points to that as a legitimate solution to improve student learning.
Mitch, you write that we are not asking the right questions. What questions do you believe we should be asking?
Well, I went on a little bit of a rant at the end of that column with all those questions. And I mean, to me, those are the questions that we're not asking because I think the people that are asking the questions don't want to hear those answers.
Spell those out
for
us.
I want to know why we're not supporting teachers in the schools where they are right now. I want to know why we're obsessed with single measures like standardized tests to determine whether students are learning and whether prospective teachers are ready for the classroom. We already know how to tell how teachers are doing in the classroom. What I'm convinced of is that we don't have the stomach or the political courage to actually spend the money and the time to do that kind of comprehensive evaluation. The fact of the matter is that what we do is we change the target every time we get an answer we don't like.
You also raise the issues of child poverty and food insecurity, that mm-hmm. we should be asking questions that we're not.
I think that's true. I think, when we correct all of the data that gets thrown about in the media about how America's falling behind, when we correct that for socioeconomic status, we see that the issues in education are really the issues in society and in unemployment and in the economy. The problems are more endemic and they're more systemic. And I think there are problems with poverty and with child hunger, but I don't think we're going to fix those by getting rid of some teacher in some classroom somewhere. Those are deeper problems, and they deserve our attention in a deep way.
Mitch Robinson is an associate professor and chair of music education at Michigan State University, and his column appeared in Okemos Parents for Schools on their website. Mitch, thank you so much for talking with us and sharing your insights.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.